verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. And this is God's holy word. In Acts chapter 10, we have been observing what God did to make clear that Gentiles were fully included in his plan to save through the preaching of the gospel. We have been observing that the Gentiles who responded to the gospel would be fully included in the fellowship of God's people in the church. It wasn't just a Jewish, it wasn't going to remain just a Jewish church or largely a Jewish church. They would no way, and that they would no way be second-class citizens segregated from Jewish believers within the church. And now as we come to our passage and finish Acts 10, this point is re-emphasized together with showing that Gentiles who God chose to respond to the gospel would be fully included in all the blessings of salvation given to the people of God. And that would include being equipped by God's Spirit together with Jews to be a people confessing and witnessing to God's work of salvation in Jesus Christ. Our main point tonight then is that the final sign, the final and great sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles among God's people through the gospel is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this can be seen in a number of ways. First of all, we see that the gift of the Spirit is a sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles through Christ in God's initiation in giving this gift. Notice that verse 44 says that while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. These things and the word is the gospel of Jesus Christ that Peter was proclaiming to Cornelius, his household, and some of his friends whom he had gathered at the Lord's command to hear the gospel. Cornelius and his household, if you remember, were Old Covenant Gentile believers, often called God-fearers, who believed in the God of Israel and awaited his promised Messiah, but were not given access to God and the fellowship of his people the way that Jews themselves were. They didn't get to enjoy the presence of God drawing near in the same way that Jews did, and they didn't get to come into the fellowship of God's people in the same way that Jews did. They were, in a sense, second-class citizens, not even citizens at all. And Peter had been sent to proclaim the good news to Cornelius that, and these God-fearers, that the King and Savior that they had been awaiting had come, that Jesus was Lord of all, including the Lord of the Gentiles, and that Jesus was the Savior of all, including the Savior of the Gentiles who respond to him in faith. And then, before Peter even finishes or calls for a response to receive Jesus as this promised King and Savior, the one they had been waiting for, and before we are told that such a response even took place, unsolicited, we're simply told that the Lord, as he is continuing to talk, that the Lord pours out the Holy Spirit on these Gentiles who were hearing the word. Clearly, this gift is being given at God's initiation. That has been a great theme and emphasis throughout Acts 10. This gift is being given at God's initiation, not Peter's and not even the Gentiles. They're not asking, hey, can we have, if we receive Christ, can we, do we get to share in all the blessings that Christ came to bring? It's God's initiation that gives them this gift, no other. God, who is rich in mercy, was showing everyone not only Jews who receive Christ. Remember Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the Jews, the first Jews, first great number of Jews who received Christ. That not only the Jews to receive Christ, or the Samaritans who were sort of, remember, half-breed Jews who received Christ. Acts 8, where the Holy Spirit fell upon them. But even Gentiles now who received Christ, breaking the bounds away from the Jewish race and people altogether, even Gentiles who received the Christ were among those he had chosen to pour out his Spirit upon, to equip, to give the great blessing of his presence and to equip them to serve him. In the last days. Remember, the Spirit was not falling on individuals throughout this early stage of the church every time they converted, as if every Christian was receiving a personal Pentecost. Is that the pattern that we have seen? No. The Spirit fell upon these distinct groups publicly. These distinct groups publicly as a sign each time the gospel broke through made inroads into one of these people groups. So first it was the great number, the great remnant of Jews, the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit comes and falls. Then it was when the gospel broke through and made inroads into the Samaritans, and now to the Gentiles. And so each time that the gospel goes to these people, we see the Spirit fall, the Spirit baptism of that group of people as a public sign demonstrating that they have begun to share in the last day's blessing promised through the Christ, who had been exalted above and poured out the Holy Spirit on his church. And so we see that now, and we see that it has finally gone from the Jews to the Samaritans, and now has gone to the Gentiles. It is making its way to the ends of the earth. That God's gospel will go to the ends of the earth, and it will draw a people into a church, an assembly. It will make a people from the ends of the earth who will enjoy God's Spirit in his presence by the Spirit and blessing, and who will be equipped and empowered by the same. In any case, in each of these situations, and especially here with the Gentiles, which was the last frontier, which was a big deal, as we will see, it is shown that the initiation is from God. This is his doing. Secondly, we see that the gift of the Spirit is a sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles through Christ in the amazement of Jewish believers that Gentiles were actually given this gift. See that the gift of the Spirit is a sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles through Christ in the amazement of Jewish believers that Gentiles were actually given this gift. Verse 45 says, "And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out," what? "Even on the Gentiles." It was expected, you see, by most Jews that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on God's people in an unprecedented measure in the last days which were to come with the Messiah on God's people. The Jews, the gift of the Spirit to God's people in the last days was considered to be symbolic of God's unprecedented presence in blessing generally with his people that would result, or that would come about with the coming of the Messiah. And it was also understood that it would be an unprecedented blessing specifically as to the empowerment of God's people to service, that the Spirit would come and dwell with God's people, be poured out on God's people in an unprecedented manner that it might empower God's people to service. No longer would only a few, in other words, receive a special anointing of the Spirit to serve God in their roles and calling, but all God's people would be empowered to a greater degree by the Spirit. Do you remember the prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, cited by Peter in Acts 2? Young and old, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Upon who? Young and old. Male and female, free men and servants. The Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, all types of people. But as expansive as those words, all flesh, might seem, or should have seemed to most Jews would have thought this meant all types of people within Israel. All types of people among the Jews, that God would be present by his Spirit with the Jewish people in an unprecedented way to bless them, and that they would be led and empowered by the Spirit to fulfill their calling as a witness to the nations, led by the Christ. And that's why the Jews were amazed as they saw the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out, notice the language again, even on the Gentiles. It was a sign to them, again, a sign. It was a sign to them that the unprecedented, as they saw it, it was a sign to them that the unprecedented blessing in general of God being present with his people, to bless the people he had chosen by the Spirit, was to be given to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. That they would enjoy his presence in an unprecedented manner by the Spirit as well, just as the Jews would. And it was a sign to them that the specific blessing of God being present to empower his people to confess and witness to him was also being given to the Gentiles, which means that the Gentiles who responded to Christ were to share in that calling together with Israel to confess the name of the Lord and to be a witness to him in the world. It was no longer just Israel that was to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation declaring the praises of the one true and living God. It was a sign of the inclusion and calling of the Gentiles. Peter explains this later in his first letter, his first epistle, that God was giving and had given this same calling that the Jews once enjoyed exclusively to the Gentiles. So speaking to the Gentiles, he uses Old Testament language that described Israel and its calling in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, again, that role in confessing and witnessing, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so in our passage, the amazement at the gift of the Spirit to the Gentiles is in part explained along these same lines. In verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. You remember what we learned in Acts 2 about speaking in tongues? To speak in tongues was to miraculously speak in some known language foreign to oneself, and to do so specifically praising God for his mighty works of salvation in Christ. Tongues were a sign that God was going to empower his people by the Spirit to confess his name and be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. That the Spirit had come to dwell with his people in an unprecedented blessing and to equip his people in an unprecedented way to confess him and be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. So the Jews see the Gentiles speaking in tongues, doing what? Extolling God, which means greatly praising God. And they understand the full extent. They see it as the sign that it is. They understand the full extent to which God is going to include and use the Gentiles together with him. He's going to include them among his people that get to enjoy his presence and unprecedented blessing, and he's going to include them among his people whom are given the Holy Spirit in unprecedented measure to confess his name and to be his witnesses throughout the world. Now, just on a side note, we don't know what languages they were speaking in. We're not told. Was it Hebrew? Was it Aramaic? Or were some of the Jews here Jews of the dispersion from the many different countries throughout or nations throughout the world? And these Gentiles were enabled to speak in some of their own, some of these foreign languages? We're not told. But again, to get too focused on that is to miss the point. The point is that it was a great sign that the Gentiles were to share it in the unprecedented presence of God in blessing, and that they were included in his people, and that they were going to be equipped by his Spirit together with the Jews to confess his name and be his witnesses throughout the earth. Now, think about how that applies to you, to us, Gentiles, called through the gospel to know God, called to assemble as his people, called to enjoy the presence and activity of his Spirit, each one of you personally, to enjoy the ministry of the Spirit in your lives, called to given the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, to be equipped to do what? To fulfill your calling, to confess his name, and to be his witnesses. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So when we gather here and we together in song and in prayers by the power of the Spirit confess his name, what are we doing? We're fulfilling our calling by the Holy Spirit. We're Gentiles. We're fulfilling prophecy. We're how many miles away from Israel? We're across the globe. We're fulfilling this call, and we're continuing to enjoy the ministry, the presence of God by the Spirit and his equipping power, enabling us to do what we are called to do. And so let us do it in dependence on the Spirit. Finally, we see that the gift of the Spirit is a sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles. Always remember when I say that means us through Christ, in the recognition that these Gentiles must be baptized. At the end of verse 46 and in verse 47, we read, "Then Peter declared, 'Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?'" Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? That's a strange way of speaking about baptism, isn't it? If I was to stand up here with some people and say, "Can anyone withhold baptism from these people?" wouldn't know what I was talking about. Well, how do we understand these words? You have to understand two things about baptism for this way of speaking. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people to make sense? First, you need to understand that baptism had become the sign of entrance into the covenant of community, which received Jesus as the Christ. That baptism had become the sign of entrance into the covenant community, which received Jesus as the Christ and were the recipients of his blessings and his ministry as well from God. It was the sign of entrance into the true and faithful remnant of the people of God. the church or assembly of God's people saved and led by Jesus Christ. And at this point, it was mostly Jews or half-breed Jews. But all who entered this community of God, this faithful remnant who began to form as a community, being reconstituted or reformed around the Messiah who they acknowledged to have come and to look to God for blessing in him, all who entered this community received baptism. It was the entrance, had become the sign of entrance into the covenant community which acknowledged Jesus as the Christ. So baptizing these Gentiles meant admitting them into the covenant community, the people of God. It was a public sign. It meant counting them publicly as fellow citizens with them, members of one kingdom with them, members of one family with them. It was a public sign acknowledging that reality. That the Gentiles were those called out of the world to confess and serve God together with them, with the Jews. That they had been fully included and could belong to the community, the covenant community, now that Messiah had come. No more were they these outsiders, second-class citizens, aliens, that could only come so close but could not receive full entrance. Peter is saying, if God has fully included these Gentiles by giving them the Spirit belonging to the church of Christ, belonging to the people of the Messiah, those who call upon his name to be saved, just like the Jews, then how can they be refused the sign, the visible sign, marking them out as part of that community? How can they be refused the sign? How can they be refused water? God has included them. We must mark them out and rejoice that they are included. They are part of the covenant community now in Christ, Jew and Gentile together. Second, you need to understand that baptism is a sign and seal of the new covenant and its blessings, the righteousness of faith, and the gift of the Spirit. Previously, circumcision had been the great sign and seal of being cleansed of sin and established as righteous by God. But there were indicators that this might change in the prophets as the great work of the Spirit to come with the Christ, with the Messiah, and with the last days and the blessings promised there were portrayed as a great baptism, as a ritual cleansing that God would administer to his people. We saw in Ezekiel 36 this morning the great work of the Spirit that would come with the Messiah and the new covenant pictured as what? A baptism, as a cleansing or sprinkling with water. And we mentioned the prophecy of Joel 2 earlier in the sermon, which speaks of the great work of the Spirit accompanying the coming of Christ and the new covenant days. In those days I will do what? Pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Again, a reference to the ritual washings or baptisms that the people were familiar with, which were done by sprinkling and pouring. And so baptism then, this washing with water, is a visible sign and seal of the Spirit, a sign visibly representing the work of the Spirit, and a seal visibly assuring or promising those who believe that they will receive the ministry of the Spirit in their lives, not only when they are actually baptized, but throughout the whole course of their life. So the Apostle Peter sees the Gentiles being given one of the great gifts that baptism symbolizes, the gift of the Spirit, and he reasons, if they have been given the reality, the gift of the Spirit, just like the Jews, who can refuse them the visible sign and seal of that gift, which is baptism? Who can withhold water? For they have received the Spirit just like us, just as we have. and hearing no objection, because there can be none. Who can resist God? Who can resist what God has done? If he's included them, if he's given them the Spirit, then we must include them, and we must give them the sign of the Spirit in his ministry, which is baptism. And so, who can resist God? And so, hearing no objections, Peter commands in verse 48 that they acknowledge what God has done in demonstrating that he has fully included these Gentiles among his people, and what he has done in giving them the gift of the Spirit by baptizing them in the name of Christ. And then we see immediately that this newfound freedom to fellowship in Christ is put into place as the Gentiles ask Peter and those with him, presumably, to stay for a few days or for some time, and they agree. And so immediately they begin living out this new fellowship, Jew and Gentile, understanding themselves to be one people, one family, united in Christ, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, Jew and Gentile, in fellowship forever. And so, again, we saw the gift of the Spirit to be a sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles through Christ in the recognition that they must be baptized. And, you know, you can apply that. Think about how that implies to us. Think about how we downplay the role of baptism and the fact that the importance of baptism and that it ought to be administered, that it is a wonderful sign. Of inclusion. It is a wonderful seal assuring those who respond to the gospel in faith that the Spirit will be at work in ministering in their life. And so just think about that, the importance of baptism. It is a sign and seal to us, and we should be willing to baptize and welcome into the full fellowship of God's people any and all who profess the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter their background. So we have seen then that the gift of the Spirit is the final great sign, the final sort of culminating great sign that we have been given in Acts 10 of the full inclusion of Gentiles in the blessing of salvation. We've seen that it is a sign that of the full inclusion of Gentiles in the fellowship of the church. And we have seen that it is a sign of the full inclusion of Gentiles in the calling and equipping of that church to confess and witness to the nations of what God has done in Christ. So we need to rejoice as Gentiles that we are fully included in all the blessings of salvation. Now, it's hard to imagine Gentiles not being fully included, but it should be great to us as we read through our Bibles and understand them. We need to rejoice in Gentiles being fully included in the fellowship of the church, that we can be church members. We need to also understand that, how that might apply between Gentiles and Gentiles, that those from different backgrounds, different cultures, different races who are included in the gift of the Spirit and recipients of the ministry of the gospel, also by us to be warmly welcomed and fully included in the fellowship of the church. And we need to understand again, and to apply this to our life, that we are fully included in the calling and equipping of the church to confess and witness to the nations of what God has done in Christ, that we would take hold in prayer and in faith in the presence of the Spirit with us to enable us to speak with boldness, confessing Christ no matter what, no matter whether we're members of the persecuted church whom we prayed for earlier, no matter whether we're living here, no matter what, that we would rejoice in our calling, embrace it, and that we would know that it is a great privilege, and that we would know that we are fully equipped for it. Let us pray. Lord, how